This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human Animal Connection podcast. I'm so happy that you're here with us today because I have a really delightful guest. Her name is Liz Murdoch, and she's an intuitive guide and the founder of Talking with Dogs. So she has a lot to draw upon in terms of her personal and professional experience. She's experienced loss in many ways, including the loss of her daughter, Grace, and in the last 2 years, two of her own dogs. So she's really very well equipped to help people who are going through one of the hardest moments in life, which is, of course, saying goodbye to a beloved pet. And we're going to talk today about how to know if it's time, and more importantly, to let the animal know it's okay to go. So thank you, Liz, for being with us.
You're good to be here.
Yeah. And I know you've been doing animal communication for a long time, and in many cases, you're dealing with people who are at this phase, you know, they love their animals so much, and it's the coming to the end or at the end. And I know you've had many conversations with animals, and I want to hear some. I know you've got many, many stories, but we want to look at animals who tell you, yes, I'm ready, and animals who tell you, no, I'm not ready, and kind of so people can understand what that process is, how to be better prepared for it. So I know there was a story about a black lab named Missy, and let's hear what she has to say when you talked with her.
Okay, so first of all, I changed the names because I don't have releases from everyone.
Sure, no problem.
I've done that, but Missy came to me as a dog, her dog mom, who's very much a dog mom, in a panic because it was her dog's time. And this was last October. Actually, I called to check in on her. We have worked together and I rarely do that, but I had this nudge. I just, how's it going? And anyway, so she was in tears. It was my dog's time. She's not doing well. I go, oh, she's not eating. I knew that. So we had several sessions and we texted back and forth. And I was convinced it was not the dog's time, but I can't just say that as an animal communicator. I need to give evidence of what I'm getting. And so I said, well, she wants her bowl lifted, her water bowl. Do you know what that means? And she said, yes, actually, I do. You've said that before. And I don't remember often clients, I start fresh. So I said, oh, well, she really wants it raised. So she raised the water bowl. The dog hadn't been eating or drinking very, not drinking very much. And so she raised the water bowl, which led to drinking a lot more water, which led to mobility improving, which led to being hungry. And she sent me lab records where the vets say, you're not going to believe this, but all because the animal said, I want my water bowl lifted, this dog is still alive, having her best life. So that's not the case for all dogs, and some are right. But that's why I think this is so important. That dog was not ready. She gave a very specific detail on what she wanted, and changed everything for them.
Yeah, that is so important. I mean, can you imagine if that person and you had not been able to talk, or she had wondered, did I do everything? You know, and of course that always comes to play, you know, did I do everything? And maybe there is something that, not in all cases, but in some cases, it could be something simple that makes a huge difference. So that's a beautiful story. Thank you for doing that. That's wonderful. Let's do a ready. I know there was a dog, a dash hound, Milo, but wants some alone time with each family member. So he's ready to go. But tell us what happened when you asked the question, are you ready to go? Is that how it worked? Did you ask that question?
So I asked my clients, don't tell me anything. Write your questions down so you can refer to them as necessary. I'm going to let the animals go first. So these were people I had never worked with, and we do it on Zoom. Zoom was just on the dog. None of them wanted to be seen other than I'll say the host, the one who made the appointment, she came on and off. So I'm looking at Milo and I go, oh, you don't feel well, what do you want? And I heard him say, I want to be propped up. He was uncomfortable and adjust the blanket. So he did that. And I didn't know that they had it scheduled, which I later found out for later that afternoon.
Yeah.
So I said, he wants that. And then I think they jumped in right away because they were so grief stricken with anticipatory grief.
Yes.
Is he ready to go? And I go, well, let me see. I know he wants to be propped up. So they did that immediately. I said, oh, Milo, I'm glad you feel better. Your family wants to know, what is it that you really want in this time? And he said, I'm ready to go. I just need alone time with each person. And I was like, oh, and I didn't know how many people, but there were a handful of family members behind the computer listening. And I said, oh, tell me more about that. He goes, I want alone time with each person. I need to be alone. I'm like, okay. So then they asked questions. Well, is he okay? Because we have it scheduled for today. And I said, Milo, he goes, yes, I know about that, but I need to be alone. He kept saying that.
So
we sort of wrapped it up early because they felt that that was what they wanted to do. Yeah. And she wrote me a long letter saying afterwards, he described picnic tables that he wanted, and he described his life so that they knew that I was getting information that made sense from him. I think that's really important. So I described many things about their family time. So she wrote back and she said that by the end of their alone time that each person had, he had shifted and was looking at them differently with a connection. And she felt that he was looking at her and they had a very meaningful goodbye and release. And they were in a different place because they had that bucket list time, which not every dog or family, that's what they get in their sessions. But this family, that time made them all align.
That's, you know, so beautiful to have the energy aligned and to have everybody feel ready. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't mean you have to go to, you know, to Paris for a week or something like that. Maybe it's just like a little moment of looking into each other's eyes and saying how much you love each other. And just the mere fact of everybody being ready, everybody being on the same page. Because sometimes what happens in on the human side is maybe one member of the family recognizes it's time and another one doesn't. And, you know, this can be confusing for the animal, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. So a not ready story about a black cat named Maestro that said, oh, this was exactly the one I was just saying, spouses not aligned and they had different opinions. So what happened with your conversation with Maestro?
So Maestro was a cat I've known for many, many years. And so I got a phone call. It was late at night. It was a friend. And she said, we think it's time. And I immediately heard Maestro with this ornery voice go, we? And I go, oh, well, who's the we? And she goes, well, the vet said. And I'm like, okay, because that's often, but I've learned that vets can say that, but they don't necessarily mean right this minute, you know, but people hear that and mean start thinking about it. But that's, she heard, should we go tonight at 11 o'clock? And I think it's 9 when we were talking.
And I
said, well, he's saying we. Where's your husband? And she goes, he's in the other room. He doesn't think it's time. And I said, okay, I'm going to ask Maestro. So I go, Maestro, what do you say? He goes, about this. And he said, it would be a disaster if I left. They would be fighting. This is not good. I can't leave them like this. And that's a common thing that comes up, as I can't leave either the one person or a group. And I go, oh. And so my friend goes, yeah, he's pretty, meaning the spouse, he's pretty adamant it's not time because he looks good. And it can be deceiving. And that's why it's hard, because like one of my dogs was eating right before, but he had so many other signs and symptoms that it, for us, it was time.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, let's ask him what he wants. And she goes, okay. I go, well, first of all, he wants the two of you to talk about this and figure out what you both think. And second of all, he says he actually wouldn't mind some more time outside in the sun. And he says, you can carry my bed out there. And he gave these details that she said, yes, we did that. And I said, well, that's what he wants. And that's something that more than a few animals want is more time in the sunshine. So I didn't hear from her. I left her and I leave people alone. And so she surfaces a few days later and said, well, she sends a picture of this cat lounging in this. She says he's eating and great. Keep up the good work. I didn't ask about the relationship because that's not really my place.
Right.
So I hear from her again. Maestro has now passed. They were in unison. They were very grateful for the circumstances around the last day and the final moments and how it transpired.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just
so different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just sometimes it's just a little bit more time. You know, it's not like they need another year or something, you know, to be on life support or something crazy. But sometimes it's just a little bit of completion time. I think there's a cycle on the human side, a cycle on the animal side. And if we have time, I definitely want to hear more about how you have, what you've understood from animals. I know you've gone through dealing with personal loss yourself and with your daughter, but what the animals have to say about the whole process. So, okay, so let's do another story before we go to the break. Sasha was ready to go, and she was sitting in the rocking chair downstairs. What happened with Sasha? And was Sasha a dog or cat?
Sasha was a cat. Again, okay. Someone who I did not know. Sometimes people just book a session, and it's just like, hi. And I'm like, who are we talking to? And so it was this cat on a bed. And all I could see was this woman's hand, because a lot of people don't want to be on a Zoom screen because it's emotional, which is fine. So I see this hand and this cat and the cat did not look good. And I'm like, hi, Sasha. Again, a made up name, but hi, I'm Liz. I want to know what you want. How are you feeling? I'm not feeling good. And I go, oh, but there's somebody else who's not here. I can hold on. And, you know, it's not about keeping an animal alive or going to suit the needs of people. If they're comfortable and there's details that they can get through another couple hours or days that you do work with your vet to manage pain and everything, that's important for sure. So anyway, this cat was ready, but said, I can't go yet, but I want to go downstairs. And I said, are you upstairs? Because I feel these stairs and she wants to go downstairs. There's a rocking chair. I could see it. I describe really well. So again, the people know it's their animal. Mm-hmm. So I said, she just wants to go in this rocking chair. And she goes, oh, she sits with my daughter there. But my daughter's not home. And I said, well, Sasha, can you wait? And I could feel the nausea. I mean, thinking about it, I said, she's nauseous. And the mom says, well, I have meds I can give her. I said, well, you need to make sure to keep her comfortable. And she goes, yeah, the vet had said, and often, you know, it's about fine tuning it with the vet. Oh, the vet said you could give more, so go ahead. Those details matter. So anyway, so I didn't hear from her, heard from her the next day. The daughter came home. Sasha was downstairs and actually passed peacefully in the rocking chair.
Oh,
it's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's so wonderful when we can make the passing be as suitable to the animal as they wish. And, you know, maybe we have some idea of what it should be like or whatever, but they might have another idea. And just being able to know from the animal what it is that they want, you know, to be able to wait for that daughter and be in the chair that was the comfort place. And that's so beautiful. Really beautiful story. Really beautiful story.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a short little break when we come back. I know we've got some more stories. And I also want to hear just in general what you've learned about how animals understand death, how they feel about death, some general ideas about death according to animals. So we'll be right back in just a moment.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, the Executive Director of the Human Animal Connection, and I'm speaking with Liz Murdoch, and she has a wonderful stories about her talking with the dogs. That's her, the name of her organization, and you can also find her at that website. We'll give that website at the end also, but it's talkingwiththedogs.com. So Liz, I was just wondering if you could give us a little bit of insight about, you know, we humans, we get pretty worked up about death. It's pretty hard stuff for us. What have you learned from the animals about how them? I mean, of course, every animal is different. I don't mean to say all animals think the same thing, feel the same thing, but in general, what have you noticed about how animals relate to death?
They're pretty much about the body, and a lot of the animals I've worked with have died at a senior age, but some of them were younger. And it's usually about the body. It's always about the body. It's mm-hmm. like, my body's not working. It's about leaving the body. And often their spirit, the voice that I hear, is very strong. Mm-hmm. And it's very reassuring. And it's, they know it's about, my body's not working. And they're okay with that, is the common thread.
Okay. So do they have a sense that they will continue in some way, either in consciousness or as a soul? What is your sense? Are they saying, well, my body's not working, which they're not to their preference, but they're not that concerned? Because, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. What have you noticed?
So some of them are sort of snarky, like, what a pain in the neck kind of thing. It's like, I really like being able to do X, but I can't do that. So they have their personalities that come through mm-hmm. while they're alive. And I can say they're like, what, you know, but that was then, you know, they sort of are like, I used to be able to run, but that's not working out so well. I've had that. Or, I love you so much, I don't want you to worry. My experience in terms of where they go, which I think you're sort of getting at what they say, it's more like, you'll understand one day. I very much have had that and in all my work and experience, that we will understand one day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more about that. Like, you'll be okay. I don't want to see you suffer. And again, these are clients who have come to me. So it's a unique pool of people who have made this a priority to have mm-hmm. me talk to their pets. So it's a pool. Mm-hmm. But the animals, pretty much, they either don't want to see their people suffer with the agony. Some dogs have died and their people weren't there. And they feel this guilt, like, oh, you're supposed to be there. Well, it didn't work out that way. And the animals give them details like, you would have hated it. You would not have liked what you would have witnessed.
Right, right, right.
So they they want to give specific detail more in my work about the circumstances of their end of life than giving away secrets, because we wouldn't understand it and we would twist it. And again, that's my experience over and over, that there, none of them have said, I'm in a puppy yard with all my friends. I've had them describe, actually, most people don't ask, but will say, who is he with? Mm-hmm. One dog, I said, he's not with anybody. I don't see that. And she goes, yeah, he didn't know anyone who died. And I was like, oh, well, good thing I just said what I got. And
yeah,
I go, I don't see him with anyone. I see this, you know, sometimes it's like a galaxy of energy shifting and changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're more matter of fact about the circumstances of their passing. They will say things about the person,
mm-hmm,
after who they've left, like your dog says, you can put the pillows back on the bed. You
yeah.
need to put the pillows back on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they weren't making the bed. It meant something to them.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
So it's usually about the circumstances to help the people in life work.
Do you have a sense that they're not afraid in general of passing, the process of passing? They're maybe not happy that the body is not working, but well, how do they feel about death? Do they know it's coming? Do they face it with equanimity and acceptance? Is there fear? Have you seen animals be afraid?
I have seen one cat be afraid.
Just one?
Yes. I mean, I witnessed there. We have feral cats on my street, and they came to my house, and I alerted the people who were the ones who, the feeders and the caretakers and the trappers, and I said, what's going on? They want help.
Uh-huh.
And that cat was sort of skittish and it was feisty, but it was very, very sick. And it was hard to catch this cat, but they did. And afterwards, the other one came back to me after it had happened with sort of a sign. So that was a hard one for me to process, because I witnessed something. And it had more to do, I think, with how the person was handling, because he was feral cat, this cat. But he went very quickly, and he was very ill.
Yes.
So that was the only time. I will say that my own dog, Teddy, and I did this, I talked about this on my podcast. He was very sick. He wasn't eating. He gave me the look. He would not even drink water that last day. He looked at me like, why would I bother? Dr. Kevin came to our house, and I had said to him, I don't want to let you in, but I know I have to. So Dr. Kevin walks in, and Teddy, who hadn't moved all day from his bed after he plopped down, I go, Teddy, this is Dr. Kevin. He's here to help you. And Teddy got up and walked over to Dr. Kevin and lay down at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all like, oh, my gosh. And it's like he knew. And he lay down exactly the way the vet wanted him.
Right.
In fact, he made a preparation that Teddy allowed him to move him. Teddy went so quickly that before Dr. Kevin even started, I thought, is he still alive?
Mm.
So yeah, dogs are amazing.
Yeah.
We were all wide-eyed.
Yeah. So they seem to know. They seem to know it's time. And they don't seem to be particularly scared about the process of dying in the way that maybe humans would experience it. And they seem ready, I guess. Well, when they are ready, obviously they're not always ready. So, I mean, you have stories where the animals tell you that they're not ready, but in most cases, what would you say is the percentage, let's say, of 100, I'll just pick a number, 100 sessions dealing with this issue? How often do you get ready? How often do you get not ready? I know it's just anecdotally, but yes.
So I would say most of the time they're not ready, because they want the people to be mindfully aware of logistics.
Okay.
Of whether it's a few hours, like the dog I talked about already, or a couple days to help, mm-hmm, the people, for the most part.
Okay, so it's mostly about human readiness, making sure that the humans have as easy a process with it as possible, whatever the human factors are. Okay.
Yes. However, there are the dogs like Missy who wanted the water bowl raised. Mm-hmm. And I have another dog like that that's still alive since December.
Mm.
And that dog wanted something. So that's why it's important for the people to listen to what they know and ground yourself and get calmer. It's hard. Or get support from someone to walk through this time so you're not like, can't breathe. I mean, I was, when we were offered it with Teddy, I was like, okay, thinking, and the two of the people with me said, no, he needs to come home for tonight. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Fascinating. Okay. So there was a dog named Billy who was an example of not right. Tell us the story of Billy. He wasn't not ready. I mean, yes.
So Billy, I've had over 30 sessions with this, with Billy. So he died. He came to me over time and we discussed treatment options. He was a big dog with some health issues and he actually died on an operating table. And then he came back and the doctors were freaked out. And they're like, this hardly ever happens, especially with the big dog. And so his dog mom called and I said, he wasn't ready. He wasn't going to do it without you. He was not going to go. So she brought him home. And it was, again, when should we do this? She had house guests who were saying, this is awful. You need to let him go. And she didn't feel right. And I said, well, who do you want to listen to? Do you want to listen to yourself or do you want to listen to these people who are here for the weekend? And she goes, I just know it's not right. I go, well, this is between you and your dog. And so I supported her. And she goes, can we have another session? So we did. And she said, I think we're getting closer. Can you ask him? And I said, yeah, sure. So I said, what do you, he goes, it, she needs to decide where. And she said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, she goes, ask him. I said, he goes, he wants to do outside under the tree. She goes, there is no tree. I said, he says there is. It's out front. She goes, there's no tree. So she's arguing with me and I keep going back to the dog and I'm like, what is it that you want? He describes this tree. She says there's no tree. She goes to the backyard. She's showing me trees. And I said, well, it's sort of like that tree, but that's not right. And I hear the dog say, ask your husband. The dog said the husband's name, who I've never met the husband, but I knew his name. Ask your husband. So she's like, okay, are you sure it's not this tree? I'm sure. So next thing I know, she's booked another session and we have a session and she's crying and I'm like, oh my gosh. She goes, he's gone. I go, okay, how are you? She goes, I'm okay. I go, where did you do this? She said, well, I asked my husband and he said out front under the tree. And that dog was so specific and it turned out, I'm going to cry. You know, it turned out that the tree was outside her office window. She'd never noticed it. So that when she sits in her office, she can now look at this tree in a very meaningful way. So
yeah,
that dog was clearly not ready when he died on the operating table and came back. And it was a process. But when he did go, and this is why I like to help people trust these kind of messages, is because it became so meaningful to her. And people say, I have this odd sense of peace, even though I hate this. I know it was right. And I mean, she loves her tree and Oriole that's now there.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I know sometimes, you know, as an animal chaplain, when I have the opportunity to be at the time close to passing, you know, whether that's veterinary assisted passing or whatever, and I'll ask the animal, is there some communication link or a sign that you would like to use so that when the person knows, well, when that feather blows in, that's just not a feather blowing in, that's my dog or whatever. And it's very beautiful when we can get that. We don't always have that opportunity, but it's a wonderful thing. Because sometimes people are like, is it a sign or isn't it? Well, okay, yeah, that's a sign. He told you that would be the sign.
Right.
That's beautiful. Okay, well, we have time, I think, for one more story about Baby. Can you tell us a story about Baby?
This was a dog, again, I'd never met them. It was urgent. I've got this decision to make. I'm not ready. And I said, well, she says that this dog, that know that you're concerned about the money. Because there are different fees and you have someone come to the home. And she goes, she's concerned about the money, and which rarely comes up. And a lot of people, and this woman too, was like, oh, I don't care. I'll find the money. And I said, she does not want you to spend a lot of money on this. And she said, but I want to do it here at home. And she goes, no, she's adamant. You are not to spend money that you don't have. If you were to get the money, she'd rather you buy it. And I had this image of like a candle, something artsy kind of candle. He says, it's way more important that you buy some kind of candle. I describe something. And she goes, okay, well, I don't know where to do it. She's got different options and availability. And that's a big thing for people in pre-planning is to find out who's available to support mm-hmm. you. So I'm sweating thinking about this. So this dog said, you need to be with someone really kind where you feel comfortable. And I said, I see a door, like a back going in a back door. She goes, I know which location that is. She had been thinking about two different options. And I said, kind, loving, and not a lot of money. Use whatever money you have or that you're going to get to something for us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, we end our session and she's feeling better, but still wobbly. Lets me know that they did go to the place with the back door. The people were so kind and she felt this relief because she did not go into debt. And as time went by, she did find this meaningful artsy piece that mm-hmm. was a physical link to her relationship with her dog.
That's wonderful.
It's sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Well, it's just so wonderful. You know, animals share our lives. We're partners in life. And so we should be partners in the process of passing out of life. And, you know, if they were in the wild, they would go sit under the tree and be lunch for a coyote, you know. And, you know, they can't do that when they're sharing lives with us. And so we need to be the best partners we can be through every stage, but especially in the stage when it's time to go. So it's been wonderful to talk with you, Liz Murdoch, and people can find you and do sessions, book sessions with you at talkingwiththedogs.com, talkingwiththedogs.com, or you can visit her YouTube channel, Talking with the Dogs. So it's been just delightful. I think we're going to have to do this again because this is just so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you. It's an important topic.
Yes, it is. And thank you for doing the good work that you're doing.
My pleasure.
We'll say aloha for now. Thank you for listening to the Human Animal Connection Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.